This is Talk of the Nation Science Friday. I am Ira Flatow. A bit later in the hour, the space shuttles return to flight and U.S. policy. But first, this 4th of July weekend, the most dazzling fireworks display will take place 83 million miles from Earth, and only a handful of lucky scientists get a front row seat. The Deep Impact spacecraft, early Monday morning, will release its 800-pound impactor to collide with the comet Tempel 1, smashing into the comet at 23,000 miles per hour. The collision will release the energy of almost the equivalent of 5 tons of TNT, creating, they hope, a massive crater on the comet's surface and sending up a shower of debris. Well, what do scientists hope to learn as a result of this spectacular high-speed crash? And will the comet or the resulting debris pose a risk to Earth? Is a comet going to be thrown off course and crash into the Earth? And what about all that debris? Is it going to come showering down upon us? Here to talk about the mission is Donald Yeomans, a Deep Impact co-investigator and senior research scientist at NASA's Jet Propulsion Laboratory in Pasadena. Welcome back to the program.
Well, thank you.
Getting excited? Getting closer?
Oh, yeah. It's nervous time. We're confident our spacecraft's healthy, but we're still got butterflies.
There are actually two spacecraft involved here, right? Like sort of a mother and a daughter ship?
That's right. We have an impactor and we have a flyby spacecraft. And right now they're mated, but 24 hours from impact, they'll separate and one will hit and one will observe the hit.
So it's the impactor will hit the comet. How big is the comet? How big a hole do you expect to see out of this?
Well, the comet is thought to be about 9 miles by 3 miles by 3 miles, sort of a jet black, pickle-shaped, dirty ice ball. And the impactor is only the size of a washing machine, so it's really no contest. The crater could be as small as 10 meters in diameter, or it could be the size of a football stadium, something like the Rose Bowl. That's the beauty of this mission. We really don't know just what's going to happen.
Just you guys breaking things again.
This mission appeals to young men for some reason.
Yeah, or young who started when this mission started and was planned and no longer young anymore.
Well, that's true. Well, yeah.
And then the mothership, which is going to be brought back to after the hole is gouged out, to take close-up pictures of what's left?
Yeah, that's the plan. Once the impactor is released, the mothership will slow down and divert and follow the impactor by about 13 minutes, so it'll actually observe the impact and observe the crater being formed and actually fly past the comet and look back and notice the ejecta cloud evolving as well.
And what can you tell from looking at it that way?
Well, for example, if the comet is solid ice, like an ice cube, you would expect a rather small crater that develops quickly, and most of the ejecta would leave the comet. On the other hand, if it's a rubble pile, bits and pieces held together by little more than their own self-gravity, you'd expect a much larger crater developing more slowly with less of the ejecta actually leaving the comet. So, and then there's a number of scenarios in between. Mm-hmm. So no matter what happens, we're going to have a much better idea of what how this comet is put together.
Why couldn't there have been past missions to sample the tail of the comet? What will this tell you that you can't learn from the tail?
Well, we do have a mission, of course, is bringing back dust particles from the tail of Vilt 2. That's the Stardust mission. But those particles came off the very top surface, which is organic material, perhaps some ices. Our mission is designed to look at underneath the surface, get underneath that crusty material and take a look at the interior ices, bring them up to the surface and lay them down briefly on the surface itself.
Mm-hmm. Can you actually do any sampling, or is it just going to be photographic work?
Well, we'll have two cameras on the flyby and an infrared spectrometer to determine composition of the material, and the impactor itself also has a camera. So that's the spacecraft. But we also have the Hubble spacecraft, Spitzer Space Telescope, Chandra Space Telescope, and a small army of ground-based amateur and professional astronomers watching.
So if you have a little binoculars or maybe a small telescope, can you see this? Can you see the event?
Well, if you live west of the Mississippi, you would have a chance, but you'd still need a fairly sophisticated amateur telescope to observe the object before impact. And if the crater is as large as we think it might be, The comet could brighten by a factor of 100 and become a fairly easy binocular object. So, again, we just don't know what's going to happen.
Mm-hmm. And comets are interesting because they're debris, we think, left over from the formation of the solar system.
Yes, that's right. They're the leftover bits and pieces from the outer solar system formation process, and because they've spent most of their life in the deep freeze of space, they haven't changed a great deal. So they're very primitive, unchanged, and so if you wish to study the mix from which our solar system formed 4.5 billion years ago, you'd certainly like to study comets.
Mm-hmm. Now, we've all seen that Bruce Willis movie where the astronauts are sent out to take care of something heading toward the Earth. And, of course, when you hear that, you know, something's going to smash into a comet, we begin to worry, well, are you going to do that thing that Hollywood likes and set it off, you know, on a course that's going to collide with Earth?
Well, I actually made that computation. Our impactor will slow the comet down by 0.05 of a millimeter per second, which is next to nothing. So it's, you know, we've got a washing machine-sized object flying, getting run over by a 9-mile-sized dirty ice ball. So it's a bit like a bug getting run over by a 757 here.
I had seen a calculation, maybe it was yours, that said that the speed of the comet would be changed by just 33 feet. The orbit, I mean, would be changed by just 33 feet.
Yeah, that's another calculation we did. The very tiny velocity change that we create on the comet will be enough to change its orbital position by 200 meters over the next 15 years. In comparison, Jupiter can kick this thing around by billions of meters over months.
Uh-huh. Yet the impact has been shown to be the equivalent of 5 tons of TNT.
That's right. We don't have any explosives, of course,
yeah.
But the kinetic energy of the impact itself, because we're going so fast, is the equivalent of about 4.5 tons of TNT. That's right.
And why do you pick this comet? Where is it? Why is this a good candidate?
Well, the comet was picked for a number of reasons. It's fairly large for a short-period comet. It's fairly well-behaved. It's approaching midlife, and it doesn't have a large dust environment to fly through. But most of all, it just happened to be in the right place at the right time.
1-800-989-8255 is our number. We're talking about this impact. Now, you know, we keep saying it's going to be the 4th of July, but if you're out in the West Coast, it's not quite the 4th yet. This is all right around midnight time out there, right?
Well, we're predicting an impact at Pacific Daylight Time of 10:52 and 17 seconds, give or take about 17 seconds.
So back east, it'll be in 4th of July, it'll still be a little on the cusp up there out west. I had heard that the comet was sort of acting up a little bit, and that there was a possibility because it had been spewing off some gas unpredictably, which I guess that's sort of an oxymoron to say about a comet,
yeah.
That you might have problem knowing exactly where it is. That it might fog up some of the, you know, the automatic direction-finding things on the robot.
Well, that's not really a concern at the moment. If the outburst were large enough, it might confuse our autonomous navigation system. But to date, the outbursts that we've seen have only been about 20% of the light of the nucleus. So I don't think our autonomous navigation system is going to be confused by these little belches here.
Yeah, because you want to be able to get the mothership in the right position, right, to take those pictures.
That's right.
Coming around. So the hardest part of the mission is yet to come, would you say?
Oh, the hardest part is yet to come in the sense that 2 hours from impact, we have to let the spacecraft think for themselves. We have to put it into autonomous navigation mode so that they have to observe, they have to see whether the comet's where it should be, and if it's not, they have to compute just how to thrust their thrusters to make sure that it does hit. And so we can't joystick this thing at the end. They've got to do it themselves.
Let me see if I can get a quick question in from Michael in Ann Arbor. Hi, Michael.
Hi, thank you for taking my call. I'm just curious. You said that the impact would change the orbit by 33 feet, and I'm just wondering how you can make those calculations if you're not certain of the mass of the comet itself.
That's a very good question, and we are not certain of the mass of the comet. We do know its general shape, and we assume a bulk density of about 1 gram per cubic centimeter, which is roughly ice. But your point is well taken. This is not a precise calculation, but even if the comet were much different from what we think it is, there would still be a very negligible velocity change.
Thanks for calling, Michael. But you'd still be able to get to it if knowing where its orbit is with the probe.
Yeah. Oh, sure.
Yeah.
Sure.
1-800-989-8255 is our number. Is there going to be possibility we can see this in real time on the internet? Or I know you'll be watching with pictures coming back. Can we watch it at the same time?
Yeah, you could check in with NASA's website and then go to the Deep Impact link, and we'll be putting up the images as fast as we get them.
Mm-hmm. At high resolution?
Yeah, some of them are high resolution. Now, most of the images will be coming back after the impact, but we're going to send down the critical observations. A few of the observations will come down in what we call real time and be posted quickly. The vast majority of the images will be coming down later, but there will be some images up on the web.
If you get any images, is that deemed a success of the mission, just getting something?
Well, we've already got quite a few images and spectra, but we're fairly confident we're going to make this impact come off, and we're going to have the highest resolution images of a cometary surface just before impact. The impactor is going to take images with a resolution the size, we'll see objects on the surface the size of a grapefruit, and that's unprecedented for comets.
Well, we wish you good luck, and... happy cometary fireworks this 4th of July. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you.
Donald Yeoman's a Deep Impact co-investigator and senior research scientist at NASA's Jet Propulsion Laboratory in Pasadena, talking about this rendezvous with a comet this 4th of July. Stay with us. We're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, we're going to talk about another historic event. That is the return of the space shuttle to active service, scheduled for July 13th. We'll talk about it. Stay with us.